There we go.
Right, we are live. All right, I want to thank everyone for joining us on another Q&A.
Yes.
This is episode 22.
Pretty crazy, right?
I know, man.
22 weeks.
Yeah, I know.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Dedication.
Dedication. Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, as we get people in the chat and get people watching, Dave, you want to, Ryan, you want to plug yourself?
Playing Dave today. How about that?
Yeah, I know, my bad.
Ryan from RPS Dent Repair out of Baltimore. What's going on, guys?
And, of course, Chris Dillon, the Touch, Washington, D.C.
We've got good old Dave-O. He's kind of in the middle of something, so he'll maybe pop it on later.
Yeah.
Later today.
Hopefully he'll jump on. So this time around, we are talking about negotiation, which is basically going to be about, I guess, negotiating with insurance companies, customers.
Cars, yeah, used car managers.
Car sales. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I am not perfect in that realm. So I think Ryan is very, very good in that. So you'll probably be doing most of the talking.
It's all good. I'm loaded with information because I probably have the worst situation right now that I've ever had. So I'm ready to rock and roll. I'll walk you through the steps on how I've expedited the situation and, you know, we'll be good. We'll be good.
Cool. Cool. So don't forget to hit the thumbs up if you can, if you're watching already. Greatly appreciate that yes. Support on the thumbs up. And go ahead and share this video on any social media pages that you frequent. I'm actually going to try to share it on Facebook right now as we're talking.
Yeah.
Baz, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Baz?
See you here.
Good old Atlanta boy on there.
Mm-hmm. Spare with me, guys. I'm gonna post this up on the some of the dent forms. If you're listening to this and you're wondering what dent form, there's Dent Techs Only, Dent World, and our group PDR Workshop. So those are some of the forms that are out right now that are available.
Yes, sir. Man, I can't beat this weather we have out here in Maryland right now. It is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
It is amazing.
It is. And I guess for us that work outside, this is a
I'll take it.
Blessing in July.
Because 111 degree weather we had the other week, I was done. I was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this.
You know what? There was a roofing company at my neighbor's house, and I just said, well, I'd rather be down here than up there. So.
Yeah, but they're starting at like 6 in the morning. You know, they're smarter than us. Like, we can't do that. We can't start at 6 in the morning. So
I know, man, but, you know, as I cut my grass and I'm just like, I don't want an engine, you know, behind me or in front of me the entire day. I'm like, at least I can have a fan on me. So
can't at least
I gotta get AC in the shop.
Come on. I don't get nothing but sweaty armpits all over the place. You know, that's what we do. So yeah, I got some stuff to bring on the show today, some tools and some different stuff that we've been using. So mm-hmm. I'll give a little tech tip that I actually taught. I taught Chris. We did a couple of hail cards a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of showed him a little trick. I don't think I brought it on the show. No. And I'm a true believer on this stuff. My wife looks at me. She says, "You're crazy. That stuff's expensive." Let me tell you, this Windex.
Oh, yeah.
Streak-free. What is it? Crystal Rain.
Yeah, you got to get the Windex, though.
So I like this stuff because it doesn't have ammonia. It doesn't have vinegar. It has a really nice scent to it. Use it to clean the cars and to get the circles that have been sitting in the sun for a long time. It wipes right off.
Mm-hmm.
But I use this a lot for glue. So I'll spray it on the tool, spray it on the brace, and it just cuts through the glue. So
okay.
It's a huge lubricator. Huge. I don't know what it does with the glue on the paddle tails or whale tails. And, you know, it works really well. So if you guys are in Home Depot or Amazon, it's worth it. It really helps with the braces. So
nice.
Check that out. That's your little tech tip for the night. So we'll start.
I told you Windex before you do a panel. That Windex.
Yep. But you see, you're seeing the aerosol stuff too, though. You guys, you and Dave Johnson like the aerosol spray.
Yes, the spray, the foam.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So I brought this tip on 2 weeks ago because I wasn't there last week. This edgy blending tip is the best blending tip I've ever used. I've got it on my Dent Technology blending hammer. This thing is awesome. I mean, I've been using it, I guess, 2 weeks.
Okay.
There's not a scratch on that tip, and I don't put a cover on it.
And see, that's what matters right there, man. That's some high-quality steel.
I mean, this tip, it doesn't unscrew ever. It's got the O-ring technology that he does. This tip is awesome. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Dave Stream knocked it out of the park with this little, you know, little blending tip. This thing is great. I mean, I think it was on sale this week for like $39. I think I paid 50.
I missed it.
So, but this tip is awesome. So if you guys get it, edgytools.com, Dave Stream's awesome to deal with. You get your little handwritten note in every package. Just a good industry guy. So check it out, edgytools.com. I got a whole bunch of stuff here, so I'm going to save the best for last. So I'm a true believer in the Meguiar's M100 compound. True believer in it. My good friend Jamie opened up a Chemical Guys. I think you can see the video Chris put together on his YouTube page. We kind of went to the grand opening after our workshop. And he says, you got to try this. I'm trying to get you away from the Meguiar's. You got to try this. So it's their compound number 32, V32 from Chemical Guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about the same thing as the M100, and it's half the price.
Mm. I like a little small container because they always dry out or leak before I get a chance to use them.
It fits really nice in my go bag.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice little container. And I think this one is $8.
Okay.
So, and if you're using this much compound, you're doing something
wrong. Yeah.
You know.
It takes me like 2 years to go through that.
Yes. So, you know, the V32, it's really close. It's Chemical Guys. You can order it online. Or if you're in Maryland, go to the Chemical Guys that just opened up in Maryland and Glen Burnie in my area. So. Stuff works really, really well. It smells much better than my Meguiar stuff. So I didn't believe him at first. He gave me a couple different bottles, and he's like, try this. I'm like, yeah, they don't work. So, but the V32, check it out, chemicalguys.com. Now, my favorite thing that I've got in probably the last month. So I do a ton of, like, mobile retail. Go to the customer's house. Working on a car, you're sweating all over the place. You know, you're paying a premium price. You have your arm marks all over the place and sweat marks. I'm big. Do you do this, Chris? I'm big with Quick Detailer.
Oh, yeah.
A big deal. Yeah. Spray the panel so it's all fresh and clean.
Yep. Everywhere I work, the whole side of the car if need be.
The problem I always had in my truck is the heat. They get swell up. Mm-hmm. And they crack and they break and the stuff's leaking all over the place.
Yep.
This thing is beast mode.
So that's what he uses?
It's hard plastic.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't crack. It's a pump sprayer. You can change the nozzle. Dude, this thing has been in my truck for a couple weeks and not one problem.
Wow.
So I'm looking at as how many bottles I've wasted in the back of the truck that has cracked and leaked. If you break this, you're in the wrong business. It's hard plastic. So I feel like I'm plugging Chemical Guys all day, but like I said, my buddy opened up a store and I was like, oh that looks cool. So it's their big sprayer, it's their power sprayer.
Mm-hmm.
I buy the big jug of it's like 5 gallon jug of Quick Detailer. I've really come to like their speed spray Quick Detailer. It's just like the Meguiar's, cheaper price again, smells much better. But check it out if you guys are looking for a good Quick Detailer sprayer, This thing's great.
Yeah, I just left the link to your blending tip. It's actually called Knockers blending tips. So I think that's the part number.
So and Jonathan's asking metal knockdown. If I leave marks, is it tip polish? What the heck am I doing wrong? So I have the same problem, John. So I use the VIP every day. I probably use the VIP on stuff I really shouldn't use the VIP on. You sometimes are gonna leave a little divot in there. A lot of times you leave the mark when the knockdown's not completely flat. So if that knockdown's sitting at an angle, it's gonna leave a divot. So make sure the knockdown's completely flat. Sometimes in the direct heat, it seems to leave the mark. But don't be stressed. Almost 99% of those things are gonna wet sand out if you do leave the little divots in the paint. But a lot of times it's because you're not holding that knockdown completely straight. And when you strike it, it's on that edge. So don't stress. It happens to me every day. I mean, it just does. Sometimes if you do it in the sun, the mark will go away with the sun.
Yeah.
So, but don't stress. It's a great knockdown, John.
Yeah, I don't use it, but I need to. Let me go with my two tools. Now, it's not as impressive as yours, but I did use this today. This is the thin whale tail. I might have put this on this show before, but it is the razor thin whale tail from Dentcraft.
That thing is bent up. What are you fixing with that thing?
So this is the Macan door
tool.
It's the famous, I think it even works with all the Porsches, but it's the famous curve buckle, and then there's a brace.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're talking the bottom of the door.
Kind of, not even at the bottom, like maybe 12 inches from the belt molding.
Okay.
And, you know, basically that brace. There's nothing you can do other than, you know, bend up one of these thin whale tail.
What,
I mean,
what
I have
colors the handle? Is that the blue and gray? Yeah.
This shows you how dated my tools are.
Yeah,
so blue and gray.
That's the best one, man. I love that.
And I don't even think they have a part number.
No, they don't put any part numbers, I don't think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's their ultra thin.
But definitely you got to have one of these ultra thins. I would say this is maybe a 20-inch one. But you got to have this in your arsenal. If you don't have this, you're missing out. This thing will snake down into a whole bunch. I have two or three of them. I heat this tool up. And it pretty much can go anywhere without leaving snail trails. So, and the reason why I keep it this way is it probably took about 30 minutes to get this exactly right. I mean, even this bend just had to be perfect, or it was it just didn't give me the leverage. Mm-hmm. So
it just kind of spins in there.
Yep. So I basically keep it this way, and this is just my 911 push tool for doors and braces. So. I do a lot of work for a body shop that has a lot of Porsches and BMWs, so I'll probably use this tool once every 2 months or so, maybe once every month. So I just keep it like that right now. And then today I was actually working on a nasty dent, and I was using the a heat meter, you know, temperature meter, I guess. And good so stuff. It's infrared, right? Infrared, I guess, whatever. Laser. Anyway, so I have this on my video, and it's, you know, the old Ryobi.
Hey, one. It works.
It works. It's 9-volt. I change the battery probably every 4 years, 5 years. And I don't know, you know, just get you one of these. Doesn't have to be this brand, but when you're doing large damage, sometimes heating that panel up, or a lot of times heating that panel up, will make that metal kind of move in your favor. You know, I talk a little bit about the temp that I use on this gun. I tend to get metal up to about 150 degrees, sometimes 160, depending on what is actually damaged. You know, if it's a really, really sharp, then I get it to 160. If it's white, I probably step it down about 15 degrees. So this is a tool that I kind of always have to have. I buy all my guys this tool, and I tell them to heat up the panel to, you know, 130, 140, depending on the damage. So those are the two tools that I have. I did want to show my camera equipment just to show you guys if anybody's interested, but not now, but I'm just saying my next show may do it. Well, actually, you know what? I can do it right now. It's fine.
It's a tool for you.
It is. It is pretty much, you know, and I use it a little bit in negotiation. You know, the YouTube thing, it shows my work, and I have a lot of times people will ask me, well, let me see what you can do. And I say, hold on at one second. Let me show you this. Instead of me working on their car.
It's amazing how the internet and social, for me being an old dent guy in this industry, how social media, the internet, just totally changed everything. You know, I had a customer call me today. He goes, hey, you know, I looked at your stuff online, and then I got on your Instagram page, and your repairs are great. Before, it was never like that. You were always proving yourself. Now it's just kind of, it's really easy, guys. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just use it as a portfolio. I mean, you know, they normally don't find me. Everybody wants, you know, it doesn't equate to business. I guess the channel is kind of small right now, but it's small. A portfolio for me.
You got 8,000 followers. How is that small?
I mean, I guess.
Come on, dude.
You know, you walk in, you know, some YouTubers like, oh, that's such and such. But, you know,
see,
in the car business, it's very small, you know.
Chris's new name is not Dentless Touch Chris. It is YouTube Chris. And you guys don't know. Like I know Chris pretty well. You would never know. He's so, like, uncomfortable on camera. You would never know.
What?
You would never know. He's uncomfortable on camera.
Very much so. Very much so.
So.
But, you know. But yeah, it's a small channel. So I use it for just to broadcast my work in a portfolio. Same way that I recommend anybody that I guess I would say mentor, or we just bounce ideas off. I always say, you know, Instagram is your portfolio. So treat it like that. Your kids' pictures on it might not be the best decision. Yep. You know,
always have a business page and a personal page.
Right, right. So, you know, we'll talk about more of that in the marketing probably version of that.
That's probably going to have to be a 2-hour show.
Yeah, for sure. But definitely, definitely, you know, use that as a portfolio. But if anybody is interested, I'll be very, very quick. And I really want you guys to kind of explore the options of YouTube and all this good stuff. You guys are on there, you're watching us. You know, go ahead and post some videos of your work. I definitely think it's a good kind of portfolio, online portfolio. So I use the Sony A6500, which is a 16mm lens. I find this to be the perfect. I have a bunch of lenses, bunch of cameras, or had a bunch of cameras, but this seems to be the better setup for me. So if anybody is interested, it's the A6500. I believe Dave Johnson He just got one. I don't think he has a 16 lens. You actually got to try it to appreciate it. Maybe when we link up, I'll let him use the lens. But that's my setup. You can always go with the kit lens. I have this cage around it, so it looks a little more bulky because, you know, we work around, I don't know, clumsy people. So if it does fall, it's protected on all four sides. So if anybody's interested, that is what I do run on my camera.
Chris actually introduced me to my little clips that I do that Dave puts together. A5100. It's a Sony A5100, and I really like it because the viewing lens opens up to where you can see yourself. So, you know, it's a great camera. It's much cheaper than the one Chris has, but it works really, really well. So,
yeah,
it's definitely a good purchase.
Definitely
good purchase. And we've got one of our viewers, Richard Bruce. It's his birthday today.
Oh yeah.
So he's usually on here religiously. He came to our workshop, so give him a little love on Facebook. Great dude.
And I believe Bad's birthday was like 2 weeks ago or a week ago, if I'm not mistaken.
I was gone last week. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, me either. What's up, Nick? Jonathan, don't worry about it, buddy. Make sure we're going through that PDF tap down the metal oil insert is pretty sweet. You ever heard of the PDR finesse insert, the knockdown with the metal insert?
Mm-mm.
Hmm. I got to look that up.
I do have the PDR Finesse just steel polished end. Mm-hmm. It's a little wider. I like the super fine with the VIP. So the PDR Finesse is actually a little wider of a hit. So it's I think a lot of them have their own, you know, uses. So
yeah, this world, Dante said, he said, does anyone use the sticky tab tape?
Yeah, he was looking, is anybody selling the sticky tab tape?
I'm reading too fast.
Brandon David's one of the guys that I get it from all the time. Just message him, tell him you heard from the PDR workshop, and a lot of times he'll take care of you. It's usually where I buy it from. There's a couple other outlets, but he's usually pretty good with it.
Yeah, my glasses on, still barely can see.
But Brandon David on Facebook, just send him a direct message, even if you're not friends, and he usually get back to you pretty quick. He is on Cali time, so.
James says, do you ever use a paint gauge before glue pulling?
Nope.
I don't. I can
easily tell. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean.
You know, a good tip for that, feel the edge of the panel. And yeah. I've learned this from just the body shop industry and the car industry. Feel the lip of the hood or the lip of the fender. If it feels rough, more than likely it's been painted. If it's smooth, it's usually factory paint.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying there isn't times that it's painted off the car and the edge is perfectly smooth, but a lot of times a lot of shops put that foam tape or just tape the backside of it and it's got a rougher edge. So it's always a good test. You'll see if a guy ever, you're buying a used car, I mean, you're selling your car to a dealership, you'll see him feel all over the edges.
Yeah.
Checking the edges. So.
Yep.
But, you know, I guess
we should. I don't use a paint gauge. Yeah.
Me neither. Not at all.
I do have one to, I guess, to negotiate with the customer. Sometimes they don't, well, a lot of times they don't see what we see, and I have to basically say, this is a repaint. Oh, no, I've had this car when it was new. Okay. And so then I would pull out that paint gauge, and it's only at the shop. I keep them at the shops. I would pull out that paint gauge and say, this is how I can tell. This is proof, basically. So, not a lot of times they will remember, oh, yeah, you know, I did get the hood. Because I always remind them, well, if you got the hood painted, they probably repainted the fender. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, I hit a deer or whatever. So, definitely, I use it, again, for negotiation, letting them know that this may be a possibility where we can't use glue. I might have to use a tool. So, I will have to R&I a lot of stuff to actually get to that panel. So, I guess it's a way to negotiate.
So, I guess we should get into our negotiation stuff. So,
yeah,
we were throwing topics around. We've got a lot of stuff written down. I'm actually in the middle of a major negotiation with a large insurance company on a hail damage car. So, I mean, so you don't have to use it a whole lot, do you, Chris?
What?
With negotiation with insurance companies?
Oh, you know, recently I've had to, but there are certain insurance companies that want to negotiate even more, but not really, I guess. Not really.
I really don't have the problem as much as a lot of the techs in my area because I have relationships with the insurance adjusters. A lot of them, is Ryan working on it? Sure, boom, done. So, perfect example. I have a hail car in the shop. They write an estimate. They're writing the car outside. Car comes to my shop. I look at the estimate, write a supplement, circle every single dent, write down the R&Is we need. We take the car apart, send the supplement over. In this instance, what happened was a lot of the adjusters are on vacation in my area. They have a guy from the Eastern Shore come over. I wasn't at the shop. Writes his supplement. $1,265 cheaper than my estimate, which is pretty significant. Write some ridiculous stuff on the car, you know, on the estimate in his notes. And goes to the secretary at the front desk, throws the paperwork and the keys on there and says, see you later, and leaves. So, I get the paperwork and I'm like, it's like $1,200 cheaper. You know, what's going on? Don't have the adjuster's phone number because he's not from here.
Right.
So I submitted another supplement to State Farm. No answer. No response. Week goes by. We submit one every single day. No response. So this last past Friday, I see an adjuster that I know in town. He's at my shop looking at another car. I said, do you have a supplement for this? And he says, no. Why? And I tell him the situation. He goes, yeah, he's not from our area. Let me look at the notes. So he looks at the notes, and State Farm says they're not coming back out.
Wow.
So you're gonna have to call claims. So Friday night, it's like 5 o'clock. I call claims. I've had this guy's car for almost 3 weeks. So I call the insurance company and I'm explaining to the claim rep. And this is the biggest thing. I know that part of the industry really well, dealing with insurance companies. And what you need to do is have all the information. When you get on the phone with the claims rep, you want to make sure you have the claim number, the customer's name, the exact vehicle, have the actual paperwork from the insurance company in front of you. And what you're going to do is you're going to go through it all. You're going to go through what's going on, what the problems are, and explain to them that the customer's pissed. The customer, they don't care about you. They care about their customer. So she was like, look, let me call the adjuster, see if I can get him on the phone. I said, he's not going to answer. It's Friday, 5 o'clock on a Friday night. He's not answering the phone. Can you have him call me? I want to talk to him on the phone. Even if he can't come out, I want to talk to him on the phone and go over the repair with him. No problem. Gave her my number. I'll have him call you. Perfect. It's 11 o'clock today. No call. So I call another adjuster. I said, look, I know what I want to do. What would you do? So what I ended up doing was I'm tired of dealing with them. You get to that point where you're just done dealing with some of the insurance companies. So I call the customer, which I really didn't want to do. And you explain to the customer the issues. And I've kept them updated. So he's known that we've had some issues. Explain to the customer, kind of coach him on how to talk to the insurance company. Very direct. He's going to get his way any way you look at it for the most part. Calls the insurance company, conferences me in, and the claim rep, and they're like, you know, what's going on? I said, this is the problem. We fax it over. I said, why is it taking five supplements to not even get a response, not even an email, not even a text message or anything? So he's all pissed on the phone, and he's being pissed because he's not pissed off at me. He's pissed off. He's like, I've been with you guys 37 years and have never made a claim. And the one time I make a claim, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing with the insurance company is explain your facts. You know, with this claim, what's going on is he's stating that Subaru Forester is not a tall vehicle. The gas door is included in the quarter panel. And there's no reason to R&I a hood or a lift gate. So, you know, and my feeling, what I said to the claim rep is, if I'm stepping on a step stool, it's a tall vehicle. It's not as tall as it's taller than a Toyota Corolla. It's taller than a Nissan Sentra or a Honda Accord. You pull it next to a Nissan Rogue, it's just as tall.
Yeah.
So some of the R&Is were outlandish. It was like he didn't have the information in front of him. So you just need to make sure when you see that adjuster, so when the adjuster comes to me tomorrow to go over this, I have all my documentation. Your R&Is are correct. Yeah.
Okay. So how are you going to, negotiate for these repairs that he took out?
I'm going to place two cars and I'm going to put the Subaru Forester in the middle. So when he walks out there, he can see the size difference. Okay. You're visually with adjusters, everything's visual. It doesn't matter. On paper, they have to work off their guidelines, and their guidelines are their guidelines. So everything's visual with them. So I'm going to explain to them, hey, if I'm stepping on this step stool, how is this not a tall vehicle? I know I'm a short guy, but there isn't a whole lot of 7 foot tall dent guys out there that are going to be comfortable fixing 250.
Yeah, you're just not going to be comfortable fixing it.
Explain your R&Is. You know, it just, like I said, you're going to have paperwork having the facts. You're going to walk in there and say, here's my facts. Bam, 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 bam. Explaining it to him why you need these R&Is, what the R&Is are going to do. You know, and he's going to come back and he's going to say, well, you know, that gas door is a separate panel, but it's included when you paint the panel. And then you're just going to have to come back at them and say, well, if you buy a quarter, that fuel door is a separate panel. You can't buy a quarter and it comes with a gas door. So a lot of it's facts. You just need to make sure all your stuff's factual and you have all the documentation. There isn't a whole lot they can do.
I look at it from the approach. So on the gas door, I always tell them, okay, from quarter panel, I'm going through the taillight. Mm-hmm. I'm glue pulling. I don't really like to glue pull a gas door because they're so flimsy. Yep. So I'm now pulling another tool out to get that different panel. So the same way, if I will work on a hood or work on a roof or a door compared to a quarter panel, it's going to be a different tool.
Yeah.
So that's what I get them to kind of understand. Exactly. The pivot area, I'm moving my light differently. It's the way the gas door pivots.
I've also learned with insurance adjusters. Like I said, I have a lot of friends that are insurance adjusters and have worked with me for years. It's all in your approach. It's all in how, if you come right at them locked and loaded and ready to argue, you're going to lose. It's just like an average day. You're just going to, hey, what's up, John? Let's go over this thing. Let's get this done so I can get this customer back in this car. You know, and then go from there. They're going to buck. I mean, there's a couple things that I know that I'm probably not going to get on this car. And I'm fine with that. But work with me here. Let's get the customer back in the car.
I mean, I think your situation, he's just being a little unreasonable.
Exactly. Exactly. You get the same instance with used car managers. You know, negotiating within a used car manager. You know, you're going to write up, like today, we wrote up 11 cars, and he's trying to, you know, some of the damage is larger. So I do a lot of large damage at one of my dealers, and he's like, oh, you know, can you help me out on this? And can you help me out on that? And you get to a point where you're kind of sitting with him and evaluate your damage. You know what I mean? You're like, look, you know, if it's something, you know, a quick one panel dinger, but you can get more money on the larger damage, take the hit on the one panel and bump up the larger damage. You know, it's all in your approach with him also. So it's all in how you explain the situation to him. You know, you're going to make it seem like you're giving him that one car, but you're actually making $25 more on the other car. Yeah. So always seem like you're giving more, but at the end of the day, you're still making your money.
Yeah, I think it goes back to David's question. I believe it was David. What I do on the dealership, you know, to do the larger damage is I tend to negotiate a lower price because they're always worried about what they're going to, you know, pay per car or whatever the case, per panel. So I'm like, it's not a problem. We'll kind of negotiate that to get the deal. But in the contract, is anything over 3 inches is subject to 50% of retail. And again, that's a negotiation tactic because they're looking at it as they're getting half off of what retail is.
Yes.
And it's a good amount. I'm looking at it as the tech that I normally will have working there can't probably do anything above 3 to 4 inches. And now I have to come out, or one of our master technicians has to come out, and the way his payment, that his kind of day goes, is that's his day is jam packed. We jam pack 4 or 5 appointments easy on all our master technicians. So to have to have him come out, he has to make a certain amount of money. It's kind of like in a consultant game. If you just want a regular consultant, it's this price. If you want a senior consultant, it's this price. A director is that price. So you now want the director to come out to handle this job. It comes with a premium. And you know, the way I negotiate it or explain it to them is that you probably won't need me or need one of our senior techs for, you know, maybe once a month. So it's kind of irrelevant. It's, but when you need us, that's what makes us different than the other, than the other tech guys. You know, he doesn't have that option to fix that. We will make that time to fix it. It just will be 50% of retail. So we basically give them the retail price, slash it 50%, and they see that big hefty discount that's there. And we also give we load the estimate up with information, like you said, Ryan. Mm-hmm. So we give them, boom, it's going to take us 2.5-3 hours to do. So when they're looking at this estimate, they're seeing what needs to be R&I. On our dealerships, we don't drill. On all of our dealerships, I think there's rock lots that we may drill a few times. But our major players, we don't drill. So they like that, and they know that it comes with a premium. We're a little higher than the competition, but they understand, you know, the differences. They see us taking taillights out and door panels off on the lot.
The other thing goes back to my situation with the hail car. I always explain to the adjuster, I'm using the State Farm hail schematic. We're not running it under retail. I really don't write much under retail. I know you do a lot of times, Chris, but
yeah,
I'm so busy. I just need to get the cars approved and fix them.
Yeah.
So the other thing I explain to them is I don't charge them an estimating fee. A lot of guys, I was just talking to Joey, Mr. PDR from New York. He charges an estimating fee, you know, to circle the dents, to wipe the circles off, to write the estimate. Because really, you're doing their job and making their job easier. So I try to bring that to factual. You want it to seem like you're saving them money. So I'll keep you guys posted on how it goes. I'll put it on the Facebook page tomorrow. See if I get my head kicked in or we break even.
I will say, State Farm and I think there's one other insurance company, but a lot of these insurance companies are actually changing the way that they are sending out these re-inspectors or the supplement writers. They're joining up with bigger collision centers, and pretty much they want to have them write their estimates. So when a customer comes to you directly, it puts a kind of a snag into their plan. I don't think they didn't understand how many customers do go outside of their network, I guess, their network body shops. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that they're going to probably fix in the next 4 to 5 months. But I know several estimators that got let go for the simple fact that mm-hmm. they no longer need them because they signed a big, huge deal with a Caliber or, yeah. you know, yeah. Google, Gerber or something. And now everything gets sent to them.
Yep.
I don't know how that's going to work out with the, the insurance commissioner, but
for me, it makes life really easy because I'm really tight with a lot of my shops. So I pretty much write the estimate for them and,
I mean, yeah, but when they come fair. To me, it takes 3 weeks to get an adjuster out here. Yeah. Not even hail. Like, it's not a lot of hail around us. It's not like Madhouse. So.
And I just had an Allstate one that I did a FaceTime with.
Yeah.
A FaceTime supplement on a hail car. And she's like, I don't quite see the dents that you circled. I said, and my thing with them, this is another negotiation. I said, you know what? I said, she's like, what is this $25 admin fee? And I said, well, that's the data for my phone here. And she's like, well, what do you mean? We don't pay that. I said, okay, well, then I'm going to hang up the phone and send an adjuster. Yeah. I'm not paying for your adjuster here because this box right here, I pay for every month.
Yeah.
So, stand your ground with some of these companies. There, a lot of them. I mean, State Farm's going to a video estimating system, and it's just. Yeah,
Allstate is too, or already has.
It's crazy. Just stand your ground. It's going to take a little longer. Explain to your customer what's going on. And the customer today on the phone with State Farm that I had, he says, it's not my problem that you don't have enough adjusters.
Yeah.
He goes, that's just like if I write a bad check to you every month, are you going to keep me insured? No, it's not my problem.
No, nope.
You want my money. I want my car fixed. So,
yeah.
Do you have a lot of customers asking? So you give them a price of say $350 for this dent, and they say, well, how about $300?
So, I'm not the best negotiator. So what I try to do is my customer base just automatically does not negotiate. They know the outcome of the repair. They know what I'm going to do to make sure that outcome is achieved. And they, I tell them, I just want to get to work. If you're okay with the price, I just want to get to work and get it done. This is, you know, what you can expect with what I do. And they've already kind of, I won't say pre-screened, but they kind of know what the deal is. You know, my shop is in a very nice area, high rent of two of my shops. And, so that, you know, that's not cheap. It's like you're not going to Ruth Chris and asking for what's the price of the steak. So, you know, yeah, I'm not a Ruth Chris or anything like that, but the marketing that Ruth Chris has, or, you know, McCormick or whatever like that, it's, you're not there to check the prices. They don't need to put the menu on the wall with the prices. Mm-hmm. So that's just not my customer base. And that took years and years of building up. So when I do get that customer, I tell them straight up, I'm not a negotiator. Guy comes over my house, the price is the price. If that's what he wants to do it, I have to make the decision whether to do it or not. So I said, before I make that call to, you know, a service that I want, I basically make sure that I'm choosing the right service provider. If you feel as though I'm the right guy, you shouldn't want to negotiate the price. My dad is in the cars. He has a bunch of cars. He collects a bunch of classic cars. And one of his friends says, can you ask your son to take a dent out? And those cars are like $15,000 paint jobs. And he said, ask your son to take a dent out. And my dad's telling me this. He's like, yeah, he asked if he brings you the car, would it be cheaper? And I said, that's just crazy, Dad. I said, he should be worried about me actually getting the job done right more so than the price. He has yet asked me if I can even fix the dent. But yet you want to know if you can come to me and get it cheaper. And he said, my dad's old school. And he said, hey, that sounds right. I'm going to ask him about that. So it's kind of, I don't know. That's just my play. I do not negotiate. That's the first thing I say.
I get a lot.
I apologize, but I do not negotiate. My price is my price. I give you fair price. I said, but if you're military, then I will give you a military discount. And that is at 10%. And I'm more than willing to give that discount out.
See, I'm at 25 for military, police, and first responders.
You do 25%?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do 10%. And, we have a lot of military in this area.
Yeah.
So pretty much almost 80% of my customers are 10% off.
I do a ton of Air Force.
Yeah.
And obviously all the state police, but that's another story. I get a ton of people trying to get deals. I get a lot of tire kickers. I've noticed it in probably the last year. The tire kickers, they've definitely gone up. You know, the amount of people that are pricing, I guess there's more competition in my area now. So, you know, a couple more companies and they're cheaper than me. And I explain to people all the time, you're looking at a Mercedes service or a Kia service. I'll walk. I had a guy call the other day and we're still busy with hail and I'm a busy tech anyway. So, you know, a guy with a Maserati called and said, hey, it was on a Monday morning. Is there any way you can fix some dents for me today? And I'm like, no, that, you know, all my retail's cut off until next Tuesday. What happened if I pay you three times the amount? If I pay you triple? I said, no, I still can't get you until next Tuesday. And he's like, oh, you're killing me. And, you know, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I said,
yeah,
you know, he's like, I used to use a dent wizard guy and, you know, I don't have his number anymore. And we talked for a little while longer and he's like, I think you're my guy. And I'm like, okay. Cause you're the only guy in town that's going to walk away from three times the amount. You must be good. I said, I don't know. I said, you're more than welcome. Yeah. And I see on YouTube and my competitor, I mean on Facebook and my competitor fixed it on Friday. So yeah. I'm not mad. Cause I'm not right now. I'm at the point of trying to figure out my customer base.
Yeah,
you know, you're trying to. It's not all about the money.
I try to bring a little bit of emotion into it because the only other factor when you're negotiating is price. So I try to hone in what that customer wants, right? So your Maserati customer is like, he wants that dent done now. Now, yep. I, on one end, I won't charge more. If you come and get the repair done and I just happen to meet you at my house at 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, I don't charge more. It's the standard price. Same you thing. Can tip me. I rarely take the tip, but that's pretty much, I do it from both ends. My price is the price.
Yep.
You know, and that's it. And even goes down to when I get stuck on a den and it takes me twice as long, I don't go back and try to ask for any more money either. My price is my price because I have an idea of what it's going to take. And I feel like you came to me as a skilled technician. I should know how long it's going to take before I priced it. And if I lose, that's my loss.
It happens.
It humbles you and makes you remember that den. So, but you know, there's a lot of things. So if I have a customer and he's just got a brand new car, I'm going to say key things like, I'm going to restore that brand new car. It's going to be exactly like the day you got it. You're not even going to have to worry about the dent. I'll buff that little mark on you. You would not even know it was there. And he has to make a decision. Now it's basically, do you want that dent out and make the car look like you just bought it, or do you want to play the price game? So I think I had a customer today and it was just a walk-in. And I gave him a little break. It was the smallest dent. One of them easy pea-sized dent, but it had a little mark in it that it could be buffed. So I said, listen, we normally charge this. I'm going to give you a little deal because I know exactly how to get this dent out. It's going to take me only about 15 minutes tops. I'll wet sand and buff that little mark out for you. It'll be back to its original, paint, back to its original luster. And I knew it because it's a 2018. Car was very clean and kept up. And he's like, I just got this like 100 miles in, and I just got the car. So
that's the worst feeling.
Yeah. And I
always try to comfort him.
I remember my first scratch in my brand new car.
I'm always try to comfort him and say, you know what? The worst part of it's over. So now your first ding's in there.
Yeah,
we'll fix it up. The next one won't hurt so bad. You'll be back, And just same kind of instance you just had was, I had a customer today, 17 Honda Accord, whacked on a body line, fender dent, probably baseball size, not terrible. We talked. I gave him a price of 325. And he says, man, my deductible's 250. I said, okay. I said, well, we're still probably in that 325 range. I'm going off of a picture. He's like, well, I don't want to spend over my 250 deductible. I said, well, you're either going to spend your 250 deductible in your car to get painted, or you're going to have me fix it.
Yeah.
So always put this in their way too. I look at him and I say, well, I'm talking to him on the phone, and I say, hey, you're going to pay $30 a day for a rental car. Your car is going to be in the shop for a minimum of 3 to 5 days for this repair. At the end of the day, you're putting $100 down for Enterprise, $30 a day. We're really close in numbers here. So you're not really saving any money. You're not making out it anyway, and you're having your car done the same day, 1 day turnaround instead of 3 to 5 days. So that's the negotiation you guys have to do too. I get a lot of my repairs are in that $250 to $500 range.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a lot of the customers that say, my deductible is only 250. And I say, well, I understand that, but your car is going to be in the shop for 3 to 5 days. It's going to get filled with dust. They're going to have to clean it. You have to worry about color match. You have to worry about a bad Carfax. As soon as you tell somebody color match, they're terrified.
Yeah. That and Carfax.
Yes.
That's where it's at. But I really say I don't want to give a stereotype, but maybe a younger person that's just in college, this is not their only car. This is their kind of rag car. They just want to keep it clean before they bring it into, bring it home for dad. They're not worried about the Carfax or color match, And so,
but the time,
again, but they're worried about the time. So again, when you hone into how you can solve that problem and then pretty much bring it to the forefront and say, looks like you're pressed for time. I'll have it done today, but I need to know right now if you want me to do it. And they got to make a split decision. And again, it's not the price. They take the price is always irrelevant. I keep trying to tell people it's always irrelevant. It comes down to time and whether you're going to solve their problem or not and if it's worth it. Now, you do get the price shoppers, the ones that always have to ask for the discount.
Yep.
And that's why I shut them down and say, unfortunately, I do no negotiation. My price is my price. And they're stuck. When I say it like that, they're kind of like, and they know they're just negotiating because they negotiate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of pause and I say, just let me know. But I can have it done. And I pinpoint that issue that I can solve. I can have it done today. You won't have to worry about, you know, Carfax or, you know, the color. You won't have to worry about the color matching. I'll even buff that scratch if he was, you know, in his mind was thinking about that. And he has to make a decision. And 9 times out of 10, I'm kind of going, let me know. But I'm about to start working on this car right here. So you either got to make a decision or not. So definitely and I do it with insurance cars. You know, I had State Farm or Progressive guy in here. I forget what it was, but I do it all the time. And they'll come in and they'll want to, oh, your R&I is 0.2 more. I say, listen, if you want to waste your time today, then I'll have the car done in 5 days. That's it. But if you approve this estimate, I can get it out by Friday. And it'd be like maybe Thursday or something like that. I said, but the more time you wait, you're going to be paying the whole rental car through the, you know, through the weekend and a couple of days in the week. But you let me know now. And 9 times out of 10, they go, all right. And they just pretty much just do it. You say you could do it on Friday, do it. Yep. And so it works out when, because I mean, look how much money you're saving. They want to wait 3 weeks of rental.
Oh, yeah.
But you can just approve that estimate for what? A difference of $400 to $500, if that, and just be done with it.
So you have a couple things.
I don't get it.
The insurance adjusters that evaluate damage don't care about the rental car. It's a total different department. They don't care. Well, so you can use that. That's a
poor business model because they should all talk to each other and balance out. Because when you start adding up that 3 weeks,
oh my gosh,
car that took us a day. Yeah.
That's like me. This hail car would be done in 8 hours. I mean, it's bad, but 8 hours has been there 3 weeks.
Yeah. Pennies holding up dollars is what I say.
So I've got another one. You have a customer call you. Hey, I have this little dent in my roof. I had it. This happened to me on Friday. Younger girl, you could tell. I need to get it done ASAP. Had her come to me, come over to the shop. I take a look at it. She goes, I have this little dent in this roof. It's this big. Black roof. Like right before the roof rail has that little body line where the roof molding is. And it's dented. I mean, it is beat. So you tell her a price. I've got to drop the headliner. Well, it's just a little dent. Do you get that a lot? Like your little, I said, my little dent is the size of a dime.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And not in the black roof.
Well, you know, you get the price. Hey, how much you normally charge for a small dent? I'm like, well, everybody's perception of a small dent is different. So if you can send me a picture, that'd be great. I said, let's do it like this. It's a grapefruit size, watermelon size, dime size. Let me know.
I started a quarter. I don't start at the grapefruit or watermelon. I started the quarter. Because in their head, started the lower numbers because in their head.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You have a baseball size shot and you start in a quarter. Like, I got this little dent. It's from a baseball. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. And you start at, well, is it the size of a dime? Oh, no. Right. It's the size of like a half dollar. You work your way up because there you're generating your number.
Yeah, I don't want them to answer every time. I go, is it a dime, quarter, baseball, tissue box?
Yes.
Let me know. And so they can talk. I'm trying to get off the phone. Well, you know, I gotta get the information out quick and see if they want to schedule. People schedule online anyway. So I'm just trying to get them their information as fast as possible.
Yeah.
So I can get back to work. this girl
with the dent in the roof.
Okay, go ahead.
Another negotiation. She goes, well, my deductible is $500. I said, well, I was looking around $600 to fix it. So she's like, you know, hemming and hauling, and she's a younger girl, and she's like, I don't have the money to fix it. So I went back and forth and back and forth. I said, look, let's split it in the middle. Let's do $550. I knew in my head I was still okay
yeah,
in the repair.
Yeah.
And she's so worried about getting it done now. I said, well, look, I can do it tomorrow, which was a Saturday, for $625, and you'll be done in 3 hours. And she says, okay. She was already complaining about the $600 bill. Yeah. I got an extra $25. First, I went down 50, and I got an extra $25. So a lot of it's on reading your customer.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Dave, we're going to answer that question for you. They are nasty.
Oh, my gosh.
They are definitely nasty. And I really think that in certain areas of that car, it could not be fun. But they are definitely, you got to, I think, I don't know, but just from my experience, it takes me a minute to get proficient at sharp dents. I can fix them. No problem, but you kind of lose what you remember from fixing sharp dents. I remember I was doing maybe 8 or 9 sharp dents in a row, and by that 9th one, boy, I was getting them out quick. So, and this is with the hail, you know, if I haven't done hail all season, it takes a little bit to get my groove back. So I would say, David, that most of them, the winners, I may be wrong, they're doing some practicing before they come in.
They've definitely got their own air cannon and they're beating on them
free. They're practicing this bad boy. So if you do go and you do compete, understand that that's your competition. There's guys out there that just want to win it. I've kind of wanted to do it this year. I've been not slacking, but I got other things I need to do.
You're slacking.
I'm definitely slacking on that one. That was a kind of a goal for me, and it still may be. But you definitely want to kind of at least train yourself on some of the sharp dents. They used last time it was Toyotas, wasn't it?
No, it was Malibus.
Oh, Malibus. Okay. All right.
They take the glass out of them. So I have a little problem with that. I hate when they take the door glass out of the cars. So, you know, you don't get as much leverage.
I take the glass out. I'm king. Door open. I turn it sideways on me.
You know, those dents are wicked. I mean, they're nasty. I can't even sit there and watch a guy fix a whole dent because you just see it. I had one today, a BB shot an aluminum F250 door, and it was white, terrible. And I said, I looked at my new guy, and I was like, he's like, it doesn't look that bad. I was like, it's aluminum, and it is shot. You know, when your finger, I always give it the finger test. If my fingertips fit in the middle of this dent, and it fits in there nicely, it's bad. You know,
they're definitely stretched. So there's tricks that you're gonna have to do. It's not.
Yep.
It's just a dent, and you get it out. They're stretched, so you have to really understand how metal is reacting and moving. You'll see a lot of guys use some tricks. You'll see a lot of guys, and it's timed. So I don't really work well under pressure. That's just something that when you tell me to take a test, I just can't work well. My wife's the same way. So, but when it's time and you got people standing around you, you know, there is a lot of dents that were still left.
And there were some really, really bad repairs. I mean, some of the stuff I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to have to paint that door.
Yeah.
There's no fixing that door. You know, and I always like to watch what tools they're using.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's using something different.
I don't think anybody's casting judgment, though. That's a nice part about that. No. I didn't see anybody go, who worked on that one? That, you know, they may have laughed about it, but, you know, you're probably not using your tools. No.
It's pressure. It's pressure. And that's what pressure. A lot of guys ask me. They're like, why don't you do it? And I said, you know why? I really enjoy MTE, and I don't feel like being stressed out the night before that. Oh man, I got to do this at 2:00. We're busy enough during the whole MTE. So, you know, if that MTE could go 2 more days, we'd be good. But it's a lot to cram in 3 days.
Yeah. And you got to get there early, got to register for the Dent Olympics. I got to go to all the manufacturers, find your favorite tools.
And it was pretty cool. I mean, Manny PDR, I met this year, I mean, he came in, 7th?
Yeah, he may be the one that didn't even practice. I mean, I don't think he
had an air cannon. Two-year tech, dude. I mean, you can look him up on Instagram and Facebook. He does a ton of videos now. He's doing really well. Yeah. Great dude. I mean, just a really passionate guy. So, you know, the good thing in this industry is you get a lot of passionate guys. I mean, Richard Bruce came to the workshop. I mean, dude is just passionate. He is the dude. Him and Dave Johnson are the two dudes that are buying all the new stuff. So I let them buy them and let me know this is terrible, or, hey, here's the part number for this. It's awesome. Because that's the way to do it, man. I mean, it's
– yeah. Manny's talented, yeah.
Yeah.
And for a two-year tech, I mean, I think he's talented and he's passionate. And that's why he's talented.
It's the passion, man.
And maybe I don't want to put his talent or, you know, but it's his passion.
Yeah.
He does it. He sticks on something and he's not leaving until it's out. And, you know, today I had one of my guys call me, and he doesn't do it quite often, but he'll say, I need some help. And then I'll call him back 20 minutes. I'll say, you really need my help? Nah, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. So you got to just stick with it.
A lot of it's mental. It's mental. Me and you did it. That terrible, terrible caravan hail hood that I fixed, that I glue pulled the whole hood. What was it? 215 dents. The one we did at Cambies. I gave up three times on that hood.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, put out on this, man. I am done.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mental game. You know, sometimes I talk myself out of the dents.
Yeah.
You know, and I get back on them. I walk away for a minute, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I can fix this.
And
get right back on it, and 3 hours later, it's fixed. So
before we leave, we talked about the retail negotiation. I really, guys, I want you guys to try that out and reading the customer and figuring out what they actually are looking for, more so than just the dent removed.
And feel them out. You're going to feel their, like Chris says, you're going to feel, okay, it's a new car or it's a young kid. And a lot of it's the reading.
Yeah, you got to, yeah. But what do you, I know you do a lot of, you know, I think you're very well with negotiating with used car salesmen. So if you're walking in and you got this used car salesman that's just, I think they're the best negotiators, honestly. They negotiate every single day, every hour, every minute, so you're not going to beat them at their own game. And I don't try. I'm very firm with my pricing, and this is why, and I get them to think, and I just pause. I have this thing that I teach my guys. I was like, sometimes saying nothing is better.
Yep.
And they kind of look at you, but then they ramble off, and then they go, well, go ahead and try this. You haven't even said a word.
Yep.
It's weird. But what is your negotiation tactics for going into, you know, kind of a problem?
You always get it. They're like, oh, man, you know, that car I'm really upside down in. And a lot of it's, and I'm like, you always look at them, you give them that face. You're like, work with me here, Chris. You know, my used car manager's name's Chris, and I'm like, let's put a little more on this Mazda. I'll help you out on this one. Mm-hmm. Or if it's, sometimes I'll get some really small, little, tiny 1.5 second dinger. Look, I'm going to take care of that for free. And then the next car, I bust them for $150. I already know that I bumped it up $25 more and I'm fixing the car for $25. But a lot of it's always make them feel like they're getting the better end of it. But you know that they're not.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the art of negotiation anyway, right?
Yeah.
That other person must feel like they won, I guess. Yes. And that's kind of how we'll probably – Christian, just off a little off topic, but Christian was talking about – and I don't want to be too political, but Christian was talking about the Donald Trump's book. I forget what it is. But it's an older book before he was president, and he's talked about how he negotiates. Mm-hmm. And from what I hear, it's a very good book. I actually probably should have had Christian on here talk. I think he's just reading it. I forget what it is, but it's a Donald Trump book. If you guys are still not a fan of him, it's fine. You know, but you know, you got to understand how he grew his business.
He's a hell of a business guy.
Yeah. So he might be loony now, but from what Christian was telling me, is like it kind of gives you a reason why he's doing some of the things that he's doing. It's all a tactic. Yep. It's what he feels as though it is. So go ahead and read that book. They've been talking about it, but it's an older book. It's before his presidency. I forget the name of it, but so you make them feel
like they're getting a deal.
They're getting a deal.
You know, and a lot of it, like you said. And same thing he said on here. First guy speaks, loses.
Yeah.
you're always going to let him do his thing.
Yeah.
For me, I think I've been doing it so long. You know, I used to go in there and be all nervous. Oh, my gosh, I wrote up 11 cars. I gave my Honda account today. It was $1,000. It was a $1,000 used car deal today. And I'm like, how is this possible? You know, yeah. But it's all in how I place the cars. I look at my Mobile Tech RX and I'm like, okay, a first car I always start out as the lowest car on the list.
Yeah.
It's the very lowest car. And I mix them in. So a lot of my cars and my used cars are $150. So I'll go in there and I'll break them up. So it's not 150. It's not 150. And 100, you know, it's 150, 45, 150, 65. You know what I mean? It's yeah. a very scattered rate. But if you give him all 150, 150, 150, he's going to feel defeated. So, you know, it's all in your placement. I jump all over that Mobile Tech RX and pick numbers to make it work. So, yeah. You know, like I said before, I used to go in some of these accounts back in the day and be all nervous. Oh, my gosh. You know,
yeah.
I'm gonna lose this account. Now I go in and just make the numbers work to where he feels like he's getting a deal.
Yeah.
So everybody wants a deal. It doesn't matter what business you're in, what product you're selling.
Yeah. They feel like you said, they feel happy, you know, they got the deal. Definitely. So hopefully we gave you guys information. There's a book that talks about negotiations called Never Split the Difference. I don't know the author's name, but it's a very good book. If I remember correctly, he is a FBI negotiator. And he created this book. I believe it's fairly long.
Chris is a big book guy, so you guys will start to learn this after our.
Yeah, I'm a very.
He tells me all the time, Ryan, you gotta get this book. I was like, Chris, I can barely read my schedule every day. I don't have time to read a book.
So. Yeah, but definitely, guys. If you guys, I'm telling you, I'm not the best negotiator, and you know they got the book, The Art of the Deal. That's literally in queue for me. I just got to go get it. But that is the next book. But definitely check out Never Split the Difference. And you guys will absolutely love that book, honestly. He has a bunch of stories in that book. I like when they tell stories in books. So.
And it seems like there's a bunch of guys on here right now that are talking about MTE. We will be at MTE again this year. I think we're going to be putting together a dinner. So when we get a little closer, we'll give you some more information on that. You know, if you guys have not been to MTE, it's an awesome time. You know, it's a great networking tool. It's a lot of just dent guys. I mean, it really is. It's just dent guys getting together and chatting. And, you know, Chris is usually in bed by like 9:30. So.
Come on, man. You know, God, I wake up at like 4:30.
Come on, this dude. Come on. See, then we're back to me, Chris, and Dave-O talk every day. So we know a lot about each other's personal lives and we're just really good friends. So it's, you know, the famous YouTube Chris here. We walk around MTE, they're like, hey, I seen you on YouTube. I'm like, damn, son. YouTube Chris. So MTE is awesome. It's a great time.
Yeah, man.
You see it's a whole lot of rooms full of a lot of egos. So, but it is truly the best networking tool out there. It really is. It's awesome. You can't, if you're a dent guy, you got to go. And then we've got some other workshops in the works. So as soon as those start releasing, we will definitely let you guys know on the YouTube page and the channel. And we've got some other stuff in the works. So just keep your ears out. I appreciate everybody for watching us and, you know, just keeping up 22 weeks down. People are still coming on here.
Don't forget to email us any topics. I'm going to put my email address right now in the comment section. Any topics, because we definitely want to.
And we've got some more guests coming on throughout. We have a couple big time guests coming on here shortly. So always like to have a guest on periodically just to kind of, you know, keep it fresh. And some of you guys Bryce Kelly show was huge. You know, I mean, the guy Chad was awesome last week. I didn't get to see a whole lot of it, and I wasn't on the show, but
we have Stucky Tools. He's coming online. I think we have James Lee.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming on board for a show, and we have a show that's going to be out for the Hail guys. We're trying to get some more Hail guys to watch the show to transition to retail, and we have Christian that actually did that, I believe, 2 years ago.
And that's what is that, five-star dent repair, right?
Yeah, five-star dent repair. Mm-hmm. Check him out on Instagram, Christian. He did that transition. I think it took him like 4 years to actually really buckle down and decide to do it and stick with it. And I think he's loving every minute of it. So we're going to try to get you guys involved, or we always try to get you guys involved. And that's why we answer the questions as we go as much as we can, even though the topics are, you know, are there. So I appreciate all the feedback that you guys give us in the chat and the emails. And, you know, I've been selling the crap out of these stickers. And again, they're at cost. I don't make any money off of them, but these bad boys been selling. I couldn't keep up with the demand. So
I'll tell you, Chris, I'm really enjoying that knockdown. That
it is
free knockdowns that you sell on your website. Yeah. I'll tell you, for a cheap knockdown, those things I've been using every day. I get the VIP and that cheap knockdown in my pocket all day long. So if you guys don't have them, get them.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now. I don't know what it is. It's a good knockdown.
Literally cheap knockdown. Yes,
and it works great.
They work. They work.
You know, it's funny. Dave on here says, ran home from the beach to catch a show live with my wife was rolling her eyes. Dave, I got you, because my wife's upstairs saying, you're in the basement playing YouTube with your friends.
She thinks it's a game.
Exactly. So believe me, I got you. I know.
All right, guys. Well, we are going to be out of here. Thank you again for the support. Don't forget to hit the thumbs up button on your way out if you're watching. Greatly appreciate all the support.
What's up, go Chad? Ahead, Ronnie. Chad from Endeavor Tools is on here again. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, yeah. There go, Chad. Yeah.
So Ryan from RPS Dent Repair, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, MySpace. Whatever else.
My favorite. Where you come up with that one? All right, guys. Chris Dylan's Touch. At Dylan's Touch on pretty much everything. Twitter, Instagram, and my LinkedIn is my name, Christopher Ray. We do have other locations, so go ahead and follow the Dylan's Touches that you see, which is Dylan's Touch of Waldorf, Maryland, Dylan's Touch of Manassas, Virginia. And they will show you different content and different repairs. So thanks again, guys, for watching. And we see you on the next Q&A.
Peace.
My mouse is done. Hold on. It's still live, but my mouse is just won't. There we go.